All right, so when we last learned, we I accidentally left an unanswered question, so I just wanted to start by tying things back together to address that that issue, and then we'll move on to today's topic. So basically, it said that the question I had said I was going to answer, which then after laying out everything to answer it, I didn't answer, was why we cover our eyes when we say Kriya Shema, and mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch says that the reason is that we cover our eyes is so that we have Kavana, is in order that we're able to concentrate. But I wanted to suggest the call it the deeper understanding, which I don't think contradicts what the Shulchan Aruch says, but basically we laid out yesterday, based on Shaar Gimel of Nefesh HaChaim, was that, just to recap that briefly, and then we'll come back to the question again, was that the world, the real existence, the only thing that truly exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nefesh HaChaim says that we would really be correct to say that we don't really exist, and God is the only thing that really exists. But, says the Nefesh HaChaim, and this is something, if we live our life with that, if we would conduct ourselves according to that awareness, that it would lead to many dangerous things. It gives the example of learning Torah in a place that's inappropriate to learn Torah, that you'd say, well, you know, none of this is real anyways. God's the, you know, it's all just pure godliness, so what's the difference here and there? This is Zman HaTfilo, what's the difference if I daven an hour later? It's all, you know, just pure godliness anyways. And this is Nefesh HaChaim, that, you know, the idea of mitzvos is predicated on the understanding that we're supposed to live with our own autonomy, we're supposed to live with our own sense of our own existence, and God gave us the ability to perceive our own existence as independent from His, and therefore we're supposed to live that way. Nefesh HaChaim says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that as opposed to the Avos, that their grasp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was such that they understood God was in complete control of the world, and everything in the world was complete. You know, He could subjugate and subdue and override everything that exists in the world, all of the forces of the world, at any moment. But at the end of the day, they still understood that there was a world. Existence still had its own reality, meaning that even though intellectually they might have been aware of everything that Nefesh HaChaim says, that God is the only real existence, but as we described it last week, emotionally they lived with the reality of the world that they were in, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the level where he really lived with the awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Eino Milvado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the only true existence. And the mentioned last week that that the Gemara says that Yitzchak Avinu said to Moshe that I am greater than you because I was put onto the Akedah and I looked at, and I saw the Shechina. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Ani nesaleisi mimcha, that I was elevated higher than you because you saw the Shechina v'kawei necha, and your eyes dimmed. But I saw the Shechina, and my eyes didn't dim. I was able to look at the Shechina. And the could not have, which was the Nefesh HaChaim finishes up with, is that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, Harini nas kvodecha, he wanted to, so to speak, experience that reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all that exists. He was aware of it. That was the awareness that he lived with, but that wasn't, at the end of the day, he was still a creation, a created being, still a living being, and therefore Hashem said, Lo yarani adam v'chai, that as long as you're alive, you cannot experience this reality. But Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, he understood it to the degree that is humanly possible. He had a hasaga of the way the Nevi'im Klaim says it, he has a hasaga of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of the Shem Hashem, which corresponds to the reality of Hashem's existence, the actual existence of Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu at least grasped that existence, and he lived with an awareness of that existence. So the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Chazal said that why do we say Baruch Shem quietly? We say Shema out loud, and we say Baruch Shem quietly. So it says that it compares it to a mashal. There was a princess, and she wanted to have. She smelled some kind of dish that wasn't so appropriate for royalty, but she really wanted it. And so to ask for it, just to have it, that wouldn't be, she can't do that. But to not have it, so it would pain her. She would feel like she was, missing out on something. So what happened was her servants began to bring it to her, b'chashai, the servants began to bring it to her quietly. So the same thing with Baruch Shem, that the shevach of Hashem, the praise of Hashem, of Shema Yisrael, of the first pasuk of Shema, Hashem Echad, does not just mean that Hashem is numerically one and he's not two, but Hashem Echad means that Hashem is the one and there is nothing else, that Hashem is everything. When you describe Hashem that way, that's the ultimate praise of Hashem, is that he's so he's so absolute that there's no room for anything else. To then go to Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, praising Hashem as Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, you're praising him because he's the king over the existence that there is. You're saying there's an existence, but Hashem is in charge of the. There is existence, but Hashem's in charge of the existence. So Yaakov Avinu said Baruch Shem Kavod, right? Yaakov Avinu, when his son said Shema Yisrael, he responded with Baruch Shem, because Yaakov Avinu, the Avos, they were on the level where Hashem is in complete control of the existence, but they're still in existence. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said Shema Yisrael, he didn't say Baruch Shem. That he said, when Moshe Rabbeinu said Shema Yisrael, there's nothing after that. And Moshe Rabbeinu Shema Yisrael was on the level of Shema Yisrael, the Echad of Shema Yisrael, that Hashem is one, that his existence is absolute. But that was Moshe Rabbeinu Shema Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did not need the Baruch Shem. And therefore, when we say Shema, we say Baruch Shem quietly, because to not say it, well, Yaakov Avinu said it. To say it, well, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. But there's a balance there that really, on the so to speak, the highest level, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, really not supposed to say it. But the ideal for us, what Yaakov Avinu said, we live with the existence of this world, so we say it, but we say it quietly. So then, that I believe is the same idea why we cover our eyes for Shema. The reason that we cover our eyes for Shema is because when you're saying the pasuk Shema Yisrael, you are acknowledging an existence that we can't really cope with. As the Nefesh Chaim says, if you live with that existence, it's going to lead to all kinds of mistakes, all kinds of misconceptions, all kinds of inappropriate behavior, it's going to lead to inappropriate conclusions. And therefore, when we say Shema Yisrael, there's some level of cognitive dissonance, there's some level of we're acknowledging that that's the truth, but it's not the truth that when we look at the world, we don't see that truth. We cover our eyes because when we look at the world, when we see the world, we don't see Hashem Echad. We can't appreciate the fact that Hashem is the only existence. And therefore, I believe that the depth of what the Shulchan Aruch means, that you have to cover your eyes in order to concentrate, because if you don't cover your eyes, if you look at the world when you say Shema Yisrael, you see something which is so completely the opposite of what you're saying. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, says that he was able to see with his eyes. Ra'u be'enav, he was able to see with his eyes. V'lo kohu enav, his eyes didn't dim. Moshe Rabbeinu, his appreciation was to see the world through that lens, to see the world in such a way that he could see the echad. echad, that Hashem was echad, and it wasn't a theory, it wasn't a problem to him. That wasn't something that didn't jive with the way that he saw the world. That was the emotional awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence that he had. Fine, that was all just to cover the hole that I left in the last time we learned of why we cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael. And most of what I just said, we did say last week, but I didn't remember to tie that back in to answer the question. So,
Rabbi, just one quick question for you. On Yom Kippur, we do say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus, so...
Right. Right. So very interesting. If I had my Nefesh HaChaim here, I actually have a couple notes in there that I wrote in about this issue, or about this point. But that on Yom Kippur we have that we are on the Mile of Malachim. We're supposed to elevate ourselves to the level of angels. And there's a Medrash which says that even the angels, right? Hashem says Lo Yerani HaAdam V'Chai. That the Medrash says Vachai is not mean that no one can see me and live. Lo Yerani Adam cannot see me. Vachai and Chai cannot see me, which the Medrash says is even the angels, which are Chaim Olam, that they can't see me. But at least on Yom Kippur, where we're at the level of leaving behind our physicality, that we have it's. So to speak, less of a barrier. There we go. Less of a barrier, like we mentioned several weeks ago, the barrier of physicality. So it's less of that barrier of physicality, and therefore able to more, you know, the climax of Yom Kippur, the very last words of Yom Kippur is Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. Right, and then we have the kind of descending back down to ourselves, where say that we escort Hashem, so to speak, back up into the Zion Rikios. That's why we say the pasuk of, not coming to the top of my head, the pasuk we say seven times at the, but wait, we say Baruch Shem, exactly, very good. We say Baruch Shem. What?
Hashem Hu Elokim.
Okay, yeah, okay, all right. Say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, where the they were. Escorting Hashem back up to through the seven rakiyas, because Hashem was so present, so recognized on Yom Kippur, the climax of Yom Kippur, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, is that Hashem was, you know, that's the closest recognition that we get. And then you escort Hashem back up through the Zayin Rakiyos, and then about 3 minutes later, we say Shema and Mariv, and we say Baruch Shem quietly, right after that climax. But that's, I believe, is the understanding of that. All right, so the last thing I want to discuss. So we discussed the Rambam's distinction, obviously, of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we discussed the idea that according to the Rambam, all other prophets prophesied through an angel, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not. All other prophets, that they fell into some kind of either sleep or a trance when they had their nevuah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was awake. All other prophets had a physical reaction when they had their nevuah. They started trembling and having fear, and they weren't lost control or physical faculties. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem like a person speaks to his friend, meaning in full control of his physical faculties, and that all other Nevi'im could not prophesize whenever they wanted. It was... First of all, they had to prepare themselves, and even after they prepared themselves, then Hashem had to decide to reveal himself to them, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied whenever he wanted, imdu ve'ashma, told them, you know, wait a minute, and I'll get, and just wait here, and I'll tell you, right? He was able to turn to Hashem, and right away have contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The way we saw it expressed, that it was miritzono, was when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to. Those were the four levels of the distinctions of prophecy. I wanted to talk about this week the one point which the Rambam left out. And the reason that I say that the Rambam left it out is because the Rambam says that the Rambam left it out. So the Rambam in Mor Nevochim in Chelik Beis Perek Lamed Hey, the Rambam has a discussion of the one additional point of a distinction of Moshe Rabbeinu which he did not mention in his in the two other places where he discusses it, and maybe very briefly mention why he doesn't mention it in those two other places, but we'll see what it is. So he says, "Kfar be'arti l'chal b'nei adam arbas ha'evdelim asher nivdal behem nivuos Moshe Rabbeinu minivuos shar nevi'im." I have already explained the four distinctions in the nivuah of Moshe Rabbeinu from all other nevi'im. Ve'hevesi rayos al-kach u'be'irartiv b'feirush ha'mishnah. Clearly, in the Perusha Mishnah, that's the introduction to Chelek, which we were learning. With Mishnah Torah, that's in the end of the seventh chapter of Yesodei HaTorah. So then he goes, he says, I'm not going to repeat it. Ve'kach gam ha'matzav l'dayti b'mofsav u'mofzezu l'aso. Says the Rambam, in my opinion, this is also true about the mofsim, the wonders that Moshe Rabbeinu did, the miracles that he performed, and the miracles of everyone else. Shemofsav einan misog mofsei shar hanaviim, that the mofsim, the wonders of Moshe Rabbeinu, are not of the same variety, are not of the same type, not in the same category of the mofsim, the wonders performed by any other Navi. So the Rambam then goes back through the getting back into the Nevuah point. He says, how do we know that there's no one else like Moshe Rabbeinu? And he goes to the Lokam Od Navi Yisrael, or really 2 points. He says, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, when it says by the Avos, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, that's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level than anyone before him. And then, at the end of the Torah, it says, Lokam Od Navi Yisrael kamoshe, that's how we know there will be no one after him like that. And then the Rambam says, V'al ha-hevdol bin mofsav, at the bottom of the first column, V'al ha-hevdol bin mofsav be'ofen klali, l'mofse kol navi be'ofen klali, a general sense, general picture of the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's mofsim and the mofsim of all other prophets, hare kol ha-mofsim asher asa'um ha-nevi'im o na'asu lahem, safru osam yechidim b'nei adam. All of the miracles, all of the nisim that were done by other prophets, or that were done for them, is a very interesting language the Rambam uses here, and there are some who use a similar interesting language by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Rambam seems to say two things, that there are miracles that are done by the prophet or for the prophet, which seems to imply that, you know, the miracles are sometimes performed by the prophet himself. It's not God doing it for him, but he does it himself. Interesting point. All right, but the Rambam says, Kigon mofsei Eliyahu ve'Elisha, like the mofsim of Eliyahu and Elisha, hincha roe melech Yisrael mevakesh ledaitam. The king at the time, not the best king in the world, but the king at the time, was trying to find out. He was trying asking around, what did Eliyahu do? V'shoel geichazi sheyodiyu osam, kamosha amar. Safru na li es kol gedulos asher asa Elisha vayihu mesaper. That the king asked Gehazi, tell me about all of the wonders that Elisha did. Tell me, what did he actually do? It wasn't well known. Not everybody knew what happened. The kach mofse kol navi. And that is the case with the mofsim of every prophet. Prat la Moshe Rabbeinu, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulafikach be'er bo akasov al derech ahodah shol yakum navi l'olam sheyasa mofsim befirsum neged tomchav umisnagadov kefish asa Moshe. And therefore the Torah tells us, or informs us, that there will not arise another navi who does mofsim so publicly, so openly, both in front of his supporters and his opposition, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. V'hu amro v'lo kam navi od l'kola osos amosim le'inei kol Yisrael. That no navi arose or will arise who for all the wonders that Moshe did le'inei kol Yisrael, in front of all of Yisrael. L'fisha kashar kan v'karach ne'an yonim yachad. The pasuk here ties these 2 points together. Shelo Yakum Misha Yasikasa Gaso. There is no one who will reach Moshe Rabbeinu's Hasaga, his grasp of Nevuah, his grasp of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Velo Misha Yasa Kamaisa, and there won't be anyone. Va'al Yat Echa Masha Nemar Bamidas or Hashemesh Le Yoshua Osamashos Yomar Le'ine Yisrael, and don't be fooled, don't be misled by that which when Yehoshua stopped the sun in Gilgal when they were fighting in their in the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and it says that that Yehoshua stopped the sun, it was Le'enei Yisrael, Lefisha Lo Amar Kol Yisrael Kimosha Namar Moshe, because it does not say Le'enei Kol Yisrael like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I think the Rambam here is saying, I don't think that he necessarily means to say that by Yehoshua's nace of stopping the sun, that not everyone saw. Or, for example, when Eliyahu, so to speak, made a drought, right? Eliyahu said that he's going to bring a drought, and there were, you know, a long time of not of without rain, and everyone was going hungry. So I don't think that there was anyone who didn't know about that. But those were incidental to the nace. The nace that Yehoshua did, when the Torah describes it, when the Navi describes it, does not describe it as Le'enei Kol Yisrael, because the nature of his nisim were not Le'enei Kol Yisrael. The nature of his nisim were not such that they were so open and public, as opposed to the nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu. The description of his nisim, the nature of his nisim, is that they were Le'enei Kol Yisrael.
But Rabbi, stopping the sun, everybody's going to...
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Doesn't necessarily mean that not everyone knew about it, but that's incidental. That's because of the nace that he was doing in order to continue the milchama was a nace that everyone knew about. So it ends up that everyone knows, but the nature of his nisim were not such that they were, you know, everyone knew. This is the Rambam himself told us from the psukim at the end of the Torah, the last three psukim of the Torah, which if you want to learn more about, you'll have to go to Rabbi Shaps' Thursday night class, Monday, Wednesday night class. For 7th and 9th graders, right? But in any case, so the Torah, when it describes, V'lokam navi od b'Yisrael kamosha, asher yado Hashem panim al panim, there never came a navi that knew Hashem, or that Hashem knew face to face. And then the verse goes directly in Lakola Osos Amos Mashar Shalacho Hashem Lasos Berti Traim Lafar Lakola Vadav Lakola Arto Lakola Yana Chazaka Lakola Mora Gadol Asher As Moshe Leine Kol Yisrael. So the Torah goes on to describe, right after describing that Lo Kam Navi Ode like Moshe, that Hashem knew Panim El Panim, and then says for all of his nisim, and for that he did for Paro and Mitzrayim, that's his opposition, and Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and in front of the nation that was his followers. Now, the Rambam is pretty clear about this, but I wouldn't say he's explicit about this. And one could have read the Torah and understood these as two things, which are, just to be fair, there are those who argue with the Rambam about this. The Abar Benel here argues with the Rambam and says that the Torah is not trying to link back when it describes the Osos, is not going back on Lo Kam Navi Od B'Yisrael. They're two independent points. But the Rambam, at least, understood these two, the Torah was one continuation here. Lo Kam Navi Od B'Yisrael, Kamosha. And then it says two things. It says that Asher Yado Hashem Panim Panim, and Lekol Osos. The Rambam does not explicitly say that these two things, the Rambam mentions that they were kind of said together. But one could have read these psukim that these are two things which are both true, but not necessarily that they are, that they're part of the same idea. And the Rambam, he says that they go that together, that they are part of the same idea. But we'll see. Just bring a couple sources that we see they are, and then we'll try and discuss discuss very briefly what is the idea. So turn the page in Bracious. Yud Zayin Aleph. So it says the beginning of Parshas, or towards the beginning of in Parshas Lech Lecha here, says so Hashem appears to Avraham, the Torah says that Avraham was Zaken Baba Yamim, Vayera Hashem El Avraham, Vayomer Elav Ani Kel Shakai. His halich lefanai veheyesamim, that the Shem appears to Avram and says, I am Kel Shakai. So a number of the Rishonim discuss what this name of Hashem means and why Hashem introduced himself to Avraham at this point as Kael Shakai. So the Ramban here says, after explaining the opinion of the Ibn Ezra, which he quotes approvingly, he says that that the Ibn Ezra says that Kael Shakai means that Hashem is totally in charge. He subdues the mazalos. He can subdue the midas adin and the ma'arachos hashamayim, the system set up in shamayim. And the Ramban says zanochon. He approves of that. V'tam lahazkir ata zeh Hashem. The reason why Hashem now mentions this name. Because this is the name through which hidden miracles are done for tzaddikim. To save them from death, to sustain them in hunger, to save them in war. Like all of the nisim that were done for Avraham and for the Avos. Avraham went to war and he was saved in the war, and they were saved in hunger. All the hidden miracles which were done for the Avos. Ki ein min hateva sheyavoa gesham. So, the Ramban says, and all of the brachos that are promised in the Torah come in this kind of way. Ki ein min hateva sheyavoa geshamim beitam. It's not natural that through serving Hashem, therefore rain should come in the proper time, right? If you do some cloud seeding, then maybe you can get naturally rain to come in its proper time. But by putting on tefillin, that doesn't have any rational connection to why rain is going to come in its proper time. V'lo she'yia shamayim kebarzel kasher nizra v'shana shvi'is. And it doesn't make sense that the sky will be dry, there won't be rain when people are not observing Shemitah. And all the things that are promised in the Torah, none of them follow a logical, natural progression. Aval kulam nisim, they're all miracles. Ubekulam titnatzeach ma'arechas hamazalos. And in all of them, the ma'arechas hamazalos, the system of the mazalos, which is set up to guide and run the physical world, has been defeated. Ella, however, says the Ramban, she'ein bahem shinoi miminhagu shel olam kenisim hana'asim al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu be'eser hamakos ubekriyas hayam v'haman v'haber'er zulasam. None of them have a complete departure from the way of the world, the way the world runs, like the miracles that were done for Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? When rain comes in the proper time, you know what? Rain comes. Rain happens. When will rain happen? So you know what? If you're doing Ratzon Hashem, Hashem will make sure the rain comes at this time when you need it. If you're not doing Ratzon Hashem, Hashem will cause that the rain will come when you don't need it. But you know what? Rain is something that you see pretty regularly. Rain is not something that you're adapting the system to fit, to work out for you. People survive wars. Not everyone. Hashem will work out the system that the system will work out in your favor. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, the nisim that Moshe Rabbeinu did, you know, hail with the fire and the balls of ice with fire in them, you know, they don't just happen every day. That's not something, the nisim that Moshe Rabbeinu did, they were a departure from the laws of nature. They weren't just working within the laws of nature to have things work out. You're doing Ratzon Hashem, so Hashem has things work out for you. They're a departure from the laws of nature. Shehem mofsim mishanim hateva befirsum. They explicitly and openly alter the laws of nature. Vehem sheyasu b'shem hamayuchar asher higidlo. And these nisim, Moshe Rabbeinu's nisim, were done with the shem hamayuchar. Were done with the name of Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei. The nisim for Avram Avinu and the Avos were the nisim of Kael Shakai, the nisim of a name of Hashem as he reveals himself in this world, and they are working within the boundaries of this world to use this world to work out the way, to manipulate it to work out the way that he wants. But the nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu are the nisim of Yudke Vavke, of the name Shmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem, the name that Hashem only made known to Moshe Rabbeinu, the name that's not how Hashem just works in this world, but the name of Hashem as the absolute existence. Vida, the Ramban continues on the next page. Vida v're'e, ki Avram Avinu lo hizkir b'dvar of shem yud-hei, rak b'tziruf ha-shem akasav ba'alav dalet, o b'tziruf kael elyon. Avram Avinu never mentions the name of Hashem, yud-hei v'v'hei, on its own. Avram Avinu never mentions yud-kei v'v'kei without it, without being modified by either the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud or B'Tzeruf Kael Elyon, with followed up with Kael Elyon, Yud Kei Vav Kei Kael Elyon. Avram Avinu never mentions the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Moshe Lo Yazkir Kein Olam, but Moshe Avinu, he never mentions such things like Hashem Adon, right, or Hashem Kael Elyon. Moshe Rabbeinu never mentions those things. The Imtizke Tavan Zeh Kulo Mimash Amram Mesechus Yavamos Kol Hanavim Nistaklu Ba'as Baklaria She'ena Me'ira, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw Ba'as Baklaria Ha'me'ira. And if you understand, you could understand these things, get the opening to understand these things from what Chazal say, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw with the Ba'as Baklaria Ha'me'ira. So the Ramban here says that the Nisim which were done through Moshe Rabbeinu, those Nisim were all the Nisim of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Those Nisim were the Nisim that were on the level of the Hasaga of Moshe Rabbeinu of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And says the Ramban, if you want to have the key to understand what that's all about, it's based on what Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Ba'as Baklaria Ha'me'ira. So the Ramban here, quite explicitly, quite directly, links that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, his seeing Hashem ba'as baklaria ha-me'ira, that was his asag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yud Kei Vav Kei, that was the shoresh, that was the root of his nisim, his miracles, which were on an entirely different level, was directly correlated with that which his nevuah, his asag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was also on a different level. One last short citation here, the Nefesh HaChaim on the next page, the same point, we have seen this Nefesh HaChaim a couple times, we've brought this paragraph, but the one follow-up line that we didn't say, the Nefesh HaChaim says in Parak Yud Gimel, Shar Gimel, that this is where he contrasts Moshe Rabbeinu with the Avos, and he says, "Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Haisa Hasagas Nevuaso Beinyan Bechinas Hashem Haetzem Hamiyuchad Havaya Baruch Hu." That Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was on the level of Hashem Haetzem, of the essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem Havaya Vechein. And so Al Yedei Kol Nisei Hashem Shenasu Al Yado, through all the nisim that Hashem did through Moshe Rabbeinu, ra'u kulam bitol metzias kol akochos lagamre, they displayed a nullification of all of the kochos of existence. Ve'ein od milvado yisbarach lagamre kimashmo, they showed. That there is nothing other than Hashem, exactly the way that it sounds, that meaning literally, there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only real existence. The nature of the Nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu was not just that they were bigger and better miracles, they were miracles which were commensurate with Moshe Rabbeinu's level. Moshe Rabbeinu's level was the Nevuah, which was Ein Od Milvado, the nevuah on the level of grasping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it without any block, without anything interrupting, because he understood there was nothing of his own existence to interrupt between his hasaga, his grasp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he understood that his own existence was nothing, that there was nothing, there only was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the nisim that he performed, they revealed this reality, they demonstrated this point, that there was Ein Od Milvado, that there was nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what was demonstrated and shown repeatedly through the Nisim that Moshe Rabbeinu did. The nature of his Mofsim were demonstrating this point, that Ein Od Milvado. There's a big difficulty in the Rambam, which we're not going to be able to discuss all of the components of this and go through it. Well, just the Rambam seems to have a little bit of a contradiction in his description of the importance of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nisim. For example, what we just saw here, that the Rambam in Mor Nevochim says that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nisim were on a different madriga than the Nisim of everyone else. The Rambam elsewhere in Mor Nevochim describes how all of the Nisim that were done were why they were necessary for Amuna. The Rambam in Igeres Hatria describes how Nisim show, they teach that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. However, in Yesodei HaTorah, in the beginning of chapter 8, we mentioned this back when we started the 7th Iker, that the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Klal Yisrael did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of his Nisim. They didn't believe in him because of the miracles that he did. And the miracles that he did, they were mipnei hatzorech. They were done for to accomplish some purpose. You know, there were Klal Yisrael needed man, so they brought down the man. They needed to drown the Egyptians, so they split the sea. They drowned the Egyptians, and they needed to put down the Korach's rebellion, so the earth opened up. The Rambam seems to kind of dismiss the importance, the significance of the Nisim that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And I think that with this understanding that we have now, based on there's really two different points. They're very much linked together. They very much go together. But there are two different elements of the Emuna of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of them is that what the Rambam describes in, I think I brought a copy of it for myself, I did. What the Rambam describes in the 8th chapter of Torah, Minu Bo Yisrael Mipnei Osu She'asa. While Yisrael did not believe in him, they didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the Nisim that he did. Meaning that level, which the reason we have a seventh yesod, the reason we have a seventh principle, which is distinct from the sixth principle, we have a sixth principle, which is prophecy, and a seventh, which is specifically the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was everything that we've been describing the past weeks. This level on its own of this clear appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself appointed Moshe Rabbeinu. That doesn't come through Nisim. That doesn't come through Moksim, as we quoted. The Malbim quotes the Sefer Ikrim, the Baal Ikrim, that any nes that Moshe Rabbeinu does can show possibly how great how much power Moshe Rabbeinu has, how great Moshe Rabbeinu has, but nothing that he does directly shows that Hashem is speaking to him. It might be the Maimer Ikrim says that you know, could be that it just shows that he's a great tzaddik and Hashem does things for his tzaddikim. It could, but the way we saw it expressed, if you do something, if I say, believe me that I know how to make this a magic potion because watch me make it, and here's all the ingredients, and here I'm putting it together, and maybe we'll even use it and I'll show you that it works, is an entirely different level of proof than believe me that I know how to make a magic potion because I'm going to walk through fire and not get hurt, and I'm going to cause, the water to start flowing the opposite direction. I'm going to do all kinds of, so you see that there's something going on with me, but you have to transfer that belief in what I've done to belief in what I'm telling you, right? That I didn't show directly that my potion is a good magic potion, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Emuna Bo, the belief in him did not come except through Klal Yisrael themselves seeing Hashem say, Moshe Rabbeinu is my Shaliach at Har Sinai. That's the Emuna Bo. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Nisim, they did the build-up to Klal Yisrael coming to Matan Torah. They showed that Hashem was in complete control of the world. That which, the Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes through Nisim, that came more in a different, qualitatively higher way than with any other nis through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's nisim showed that Hashem created the world, and they showed that Hashem is in charge of the world, and that Hashem, that there is no reality to the world, that Hashem can completely override the world, and there's nothing that is... there's nothing objectively the way it is about the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu does whatever he wants with the world, that the world is exactly the way Hashem wants it, because Nefesh HaChaim says, because Einon Milvado, there is nothing other than Hashem, and therefore he makes the world be the way he wants it, because it doesn't have to exist if he doesn't want it to. And that was the role of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nisim, was to bring about that Hakara of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was the prereq to Matan Torah, was bringing about the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, of showing that Einon Milvado, that's the Amunah that is built on. And then you come to Matan Torah and you have the Giloy of the Ratzon Hashem in the world, in the purest sense, through Moshe Rabbeinu, who has the ability to grasp Ratzon Hashem in that absolute clear way, the unique Madriga of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll stop here.